This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A new project featuring the Duke Center for Documentary Studies and Duke Libraries brings together young organizers from the civil rights era and activists today. The project is called SNCC Digital Gateway. SNCC, of course, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. The group was formed during the civil rights era to give younger people a greater voice in the movement. Charlie Cobb is a field secretary for SNCC from 1962 to 1967, went on to become a journalist, also an author, wrote many books, including This Nonviolent Stuff Will Get You Killed, How Guns Made the Civil Rights Movement Possible, and he's also involved in the SNCC Digital Gateway Project. Welcome back, Charlie.
Good to be here.
I am really interested in finding out about this archive and the whole project that makes sure we don't lose all this, but we need to talk about SNCC, and you were there. Give us an idea. I mean, tell us about SNCC and your involvement in it and why you got involved.
Okay, and a lot of it, I should say, resonates with the emergence of young activists today around the movement for Black lives and the struggle that started initially against police violence, and it's begun to expand. Basically, if you were Black in the 1960, you were probably going to an HBCU. And if you were going to an HBCU or historically Black college or university, you were going to school in the South, which meant you were ran right up against segregation. You know, any range of things were excluded to you. And what happened was that students, initially here in North Carolina, Greensboro, sat in to protest segregation. And it spread like wildfire in a matter of months in 80 or 90 southern cities. And out of this emerged SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, also encouraged by another great North Carolinian, Ella Baker. SNCC, which began as a protest organization, and I was a Howard University student, and became involved because Washington, D.C. had only recently begun to desegregate, and everything around it was segregated in Maryland and Virginia. So I became involved in the sit-in movement. And SNCC moved rather quickly from protest to community organizing at the grassroots. And this is one of the great influences of Ella Baker. Again, and I became a SNCC field secretary
and tell us about
in Mississippi.
That, tell us about that story, because you were on your way to Texas.
I was. I mean, what happened was, I mean, remember, I was 19 years old. because I was involved in the sit-ins in my freshman year at school, CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality, an older organization formed in the 1940s, invited me to a workshop for young activists. And I took the bus from Washington, D.C. to Texas, because you didn't fly in those days. And it was a way to see the South. I got off the bus in Jackson, Mississippi, because the students there were sitting in. And I felt it's one thing for me to be sitting in Maryland or Virginia. It's something qualitatively different for students to be sitting in Mississippi, because in my way of thinking, that's where Emmett Till was killed, and that was the worst place in the universe for Black people. So I needed to meet these students. And I made my way to their headquarters, introduced myself to them, explained to them what I'm telling you. I'm on the way to Texas. One of these students, Lawrence Guyot, who would later become the chair of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, got up and leaned over me. Guyot was a big guy. And he said, I still remember the exact words. You're going to Texas for a workshop on civil rights? What's the point of doing that when you're standing right here in Mississippi? And the message came through. I mean, he said, you can go off somewhere and chatter if you want to at some workshop, or you could stay with us, because they were getting ready to start project up in the Mississippi Delta, or you can stay with us and we'll get ready to do something. And I stayed.
Tell me, in that moment, all right, Guyot makes this impassioned, right, appeal to you, but you're...
Well, it was more disdainful.
More disdainful. But in your mind, you've already articulated the fact that this is a dangerous place. I mean, did you have any hesitation about taking up this challenge?
No, I mean, What I felt was the challenge, you know, and my response to it, danger notwithstanding, was, well, I'll meet the challenge. It's summertime anyway, I thought. I don't have to go to a workshop. I can stay in Mississippi. It was the summer, end of the semester. And I did. I went up there. They were beginning to work on voter registration because SNCC had moved. Again, Ella Baker had introduced a lot of the young people who had formed SNCC to this whole generation of people, which we didn't know existed, who had been involved in struggle in the 1920s, the 1930s, the 1940s, the 1950s. And these people had already their ideas about what needed to be done. And what they needed, though, Amzie Moore comes to mind, a name probably most of your listeners won't know, but NAACP leader in Mississippi. These people, what they needed was young energy.
It makes perfect sense now. We talk about Ella Baker's mission and her passion for this kind of grassroots organizing, but it didn't make sense necessarily to the leaders of the movement at that time, which was very much a top-down organization run.
Well, it depends on who you're talking about.
All right.
It made a lot of sense to local leaders who were the ages of our parents and grandparents. Those local leaders, and I won't tick off my very long list of names of those. It made a lot of sense to try and take advantage of our energy. The people who tended to be resistant to us were the big shots in national headquarters, people like Roy Wilkins, the leader of the NAACP, in his New York City headquarters, and other people like that. But down on the ground in the counties, in Mississippi or Alabama or Georgia, as far as any SNCC field secretary will tell you a story like this. You knock on a door, you say, I'm here working on voter registration, wondering if you'd be interested in that. And some person at the door would say, I've been waiting for you. What's taking you so long? I mean, these people existed all across the South, and the local leadership, which in many ways was ignored by their national leadership, had been waiting for us. And they took us under their wings. They protected us. That's what my last book was about, how they protected us, and taught us how to move in these very dangerous environs. And we may have had our own ideas, but we deferred to their preferences about what to struggle for in these communities. That was the nature of SNCC in those days, which is the early 1960s, middle 1960s.
So you're talking about a decentralized movement by design. What kind of documentation do we have from that era?
This is what we're doing. At one level, there's a lot of documentations in the sense that we wrote field reports. We actually wrote down every week what we were doing. This is due to the executive secretary of the organization, who was older than we were, James Foreman, who was a trained historian. And Jim would always be after us. Write. You got to write, Charlie. and our resources were in part tied to this. So we sat down once a week and we wrote down wherever you were. I'm in Ruleville, Mississippi, or Issaquena County, Mississippi. So there's a whole body of written material that we produce, more than any single organization working in the South. The SNCC people actually wrote down what we were doing. But that's as far as it went. And it's not until skipping forward in time to the SNCC Digital Gateway Project. It wasn't really until commemoration of our 50th anniversary that it dawned on some of us that maybe we ought to turn our attention to seriously documenting what we did. And out of this emerges this project that has brought us to these microphones today. I mean, but we began a conversation among ourselves of, well, how do we do this if we want to document in a way that's useful to contemporary activists?
Well, let's find out
what we did.
let's find out a little bit about how this project is going to be put together and is in the process of being put together. Wesley Hogan is a SNCC scholar and the director of the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University, also a research professor at the Franklin Humanities Institute. Welcome back, Wesley. Good to have you here.
Hey, Frank.
Also with us is Ajamo Dillahunt Holloway. Ajamo Dillahunt Holloway is a junior at North Carolina Central University, a member of the Durham chapter of a group called Black Youth Project 100, and an intern at SNCC Digital Gateway this year. Welcome back, Ajamo.
Glad to be here.
Wesley, tell me a little bit about this project. What does it involve? What is this Digital Gateway?
Well, so as Charlie mentioned, in 2010, the SNCC 50th anniversary happened at Shaw University in Raleigh. And at that conference, we had Natalie Bullock Brown doing the videography for all of the sessions. And we had an incredible conference with, I think, well over 300 people. We weren't sure what to do with that material. And so we began conversations between members of what formed the SNCC Legacy Project, which was its own 501c3 veterans of SNCC, began to talk to people at Duke. And then we were trying to figure out a way to make sure that activists themselves were intensely involved, centrally involved in the creation of the history. So up to that point, many of us had interviewed SNCC people. We had written books and articles, but we couldn't figure out a way to really make the SNCC people central to the writing of the history. And we knew that in the digital age, it wasn't going to just be writing that we needed. We also needed an interactive multimedia platform. So we began discussions in 2013. We put together a team that was three people from the library, three people from the Center for Doc Studies, and six people from the SNCC Legacy Project.
I'm just thinking about that, Charlie, whether or not if James Farmer were here now, he would say, tweet, Charlie, you got to tweet. Tweet. But you did write, you've got this repository. But Wesley, as you say, you really want to make sure that this is not just scholars cherry-picking other people's story,
exactly,
that they're actively involved. And so that becomes part of it. And, you know, getting some of the end users involved, people like Ajamu, is also part of it. You're an intern in this project. What kind of work are you doing?
So I had an opportunity to do some research on the role of HBCUs and SNCC, so the Nonviolent Action Group, NAG, at Howard, and the Atlanta Student Movement and the Nashville Student Movement. Also, I was able to record some videos for the Today section, and I got to work with some teachers, introduce them to the site, kind of show, you know, kind of like a guide to the site. More notably, the connection between North Carolina Central and the project, so we're able to bring SNCC veterans to campus. So that's what I've been involved in with the project. It's been an outstanding opportunity.
Now, I've known you for a long time, and you are an active and engaged young man, but I wonder what, if anything, changed for you and how much you may have learned about SNCC, because certainly you were aware of it, but how things changed for you?
It changed a whole lot. Every time I go on the site, I learn something new, and I've been an intern for quite some time. But the website, it sparks a sense of urgency in young people, and it strengthens one's sense of cognitive liberation. And cognitive liberation is the belief that change can and should take place. Being introduced to the site and you seeing young people making these important political connections, you're like, my God, you know, you're getting inspired. And so being a student at historically black colleges, you know, HBCUs are institutions that are home for black political thought and birth of resistance. As Charlie mentioned, the sit-in movement started at a historically black college. And then the person who gathered them there, Ella Baker, is a graduate of historically black college. And then the students gathered at Shaw University, which is a historically black college. So it played an important role. And so the site has been very important for me in terms of recruiting people to the struggle. So as the long-time war on black America continues, we become deeper into this capitalist crisis. Having this website for black students and black people has been very critical to see how we can respond to these type of atrocities facing our institutions.
Charlie, I wonder how you feel about this. I mean, this is a movement that you are very much a part of, a part of the movement, as you suggest. I mean, we talk about the civil rights movement. Obviously, we know it has a long history that began well before the 50s and continues to today. But there was that section that got all the headlines in the 60s and 70s. As you see the Black Lives Matter movement emerge now and others that are around it, is this any part of it? Do you feel like SNCC's legacy now is any part of that? Or really the question I had is, had it been forgotten? Were you worried that it was sort of being sidelined in the face of these other headlines?
I don't know that I would characterize it in that fashion. My concern centered not so much that it was being forgotten, but that it was being misinterpreted and misunderstood. Of the histories that I encountered, with some exceptions, Wesley's book being one of them, mainly missed the point.
How so?
About the,
how so?
Because they roughly, the way the movement was defined was as a movement of mass protest in public spaces led by charismatic leaders. And I suppose Martin Luther King is the great symbol of that. To put it another way, as Julian Bond, my good and much missed friend, used to say, you know, the way the public understood the movement was boiled down to really three short sentences. Rosa sat down, Martin stood up, then the white folks saw the light and saved the day. You know, that was my concern. And so my concern was, well, then how do we rectify this? What do we do if we want to get a deeper, a clearer, a better, more faithful understanding of the movement? That was the conversation we had at SNCC's 50th.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other piece of it, because what was happening really around the same time that we were beginning to commemorate our 50th, is you're beginning to see the signs that another movement is emerging, you know, which eventually with the killing of Trayvon Martin would spring into public view as Black Lives Matter, but which is really better characterized as the movement for Black Lives, because that encompasses a whole range of organizations. And what we were seeing were young people who reminded us of ourselves. And what that led to was conversations with that generation. And they were interested in us. They knew a little bit about SNCC and a little bit about the Black Panther Party. And they were interested. And they kind of reached out to us at the same time that we were beginning to reach out to them. And so that conversation is going on. And that helped crystallize the necessity for the site. Because if... you know, one, we're not going to be around forever. Two, there ought to be a place that they could access to get some understanding of the movement we built or tried to build in the 1960s.
Well, Ajamu, if there's a criticism, Charlie talks about seeing himself in some of the younger activists, but if there's a criticism, it is that younger activists tend to spend too much time online and not get their feet on the ground. I wonder how you feel about that critique and, you know, whether or not this site might help answer that or, you know, make things worse. In other words, we get to sit home and check on our phones, you know, and see, look at the movement.
Yeah, so that's a false notion. Young people are very much so, maybe online, but even more in the community through organizations like BYP 100 here in North Carolina, organization called Ignite NC, and there's a ton of other organizations that are really preparing students to be social change agents and providing students with the necessary organizing tools to do work on campus and in community. So to the response to the North Carolina General Assembly and voter suppression here in North Carolina, for example, young people have been very involved and active in that. So,
and you think young people will actually access this and use
it? Oh, definitely, definitely. Young people have been accessing it, and it's been very important because the good thing about the site is that it's in a very accessible way, and it's not too much and it's not too less. So young people, you can glance at it and boom, and then of course it provides you with primary sources and material. So if you find something interesting, you can see the sources and then go back to it and do some, you know, further investigation. So it's very important.
Well, along those lines, Wesley, will this have value to scholars as well?
Yeah, so the primary audience for this is the public at large, but we were trying to create a different model. We wanted intellectual work to be seen as part of what the activists have created as well. So Charlie's been really influential in that, trying to make sure that activists are seen as thinkers as well as doers. And so we're trying to make sure that that resource is available not only to scholars, because it creates better information when we have information from the activists themselves telling us about specific documents or photos, film strips. But we are also very interested in making sure that the activists themselves are seen as intellectuals and that their work is valued as such.
Wesley Hogan is a SNCC scholar and director of the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke, also a research professor at the Franklin Institute. Charlie Cobb, field secretary for SNCC from 1962 to 1967. His latest book, This Nonviolent Stuff Will Get You Killed, How Guns Made the Civil Rights Movement Possible. Also involved in the SNCC Digital Gateway. And Ajamu Dillahunt Holloway is a junior at North Carolina Central University and a member of the Black Youth Project 100 Durham chapter, interning with the SNCC Digital Gateway Project. Thank you all so much for being on the program.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org, and a two-day symposium at Duke this weekend. You can find out about that as well. There's more State of Things just ahead. Stay tuned.